So does she operate?
Huh?
Does she operate it? Stand by. Think so. Where's he at? Bathroom?
Oh, okay. He has to do the thing. He's the Grammar. Push record.
You got it? I'd like to bring the January 27th meeting into order, please. If we could have the invocation done by Keith.
Heavenly Father, we come to you asking for guidance and wisdom and support. Guide us as we make decisions that will affect residents, staff, and their families. We pray for the health and the well-being of residents and employees of this community, their family, friends, whether here at home or traveling. We ask that you watch over and guide the nation and bless it and bring peace that we all desire. Guide our elected officials to use wisdom in their decision-making and protect our military and first responders. Bring them home safe and unharmed to their family and friends. Use your grace to heal the sick and the suffering. We ask in his name. Amen. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joanne, we got a roll call.
Terry Steimer.
Here.
Joe Prisco.
Here.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Joanne Gagan. Here. Keith Richard.
Here.
Gaston Pelletier.
Here.
Barbara Whitnick.
Here.
Michael Hamm. Absent. And the will we record that Sherry Morris, district manager, is present.
Tonight is a workplace meeting. It's not a general meeting like you would see on every other night. There's no new business and old business tonight, and there is no trustee reports, as in budget report, that kind of thing. So we're going to get right to the meat of the meeting, and that has to do at first, because I apparently was told that I got to adhere to the Robert's Rules of Order structure of meetings. And what it is there are those people who wrote questions for our attorney, Gary Bond, when he came here. Some of them were not answered by Gary Bone. Some of them were not answered by him for one reason or another. And I plan on answering those that he didn't answer. Now, the board is welcome to make comments on each question and answer that I answer and ask. But these are my thinking of what I know about these situations at this point in time. The audience will be able to comment at the end of the meeting. If you can wait till then, please don't yell out. If you can wait till then we'll certainly have any comments you have. All right? First question, when will lawn people get it right? Presently, it is a constant undertaking to make corrections. We do have a liaison between the Board of Trustees and the Lawn Service. That person is Joe Prisco. Please call with concerns, and we will work on this. We'll let Joe know to contact U.S. Lawn and let them know to tell their people not to litter or throw cigarette butts on the ground. Question one. Question two. How do we get rid of lawn care people? There are no plans at this time to get rid of U.S. lawns. As in any new endeavor, there will be bumps in the road. However, we must give the lawn company a chance and first try to work it out. Number three, memorial plaque needs to be moved and put where all can see where we come in. My answer was, I don't know exactly where you are talking about because I've been here only 2 years. Please talk to me, whoever wrote this question, and I will arrange a meeting between you and I and a district manager on site to discuss this. Is the person who asked this question here?
Can I?
Yes.
It's the plaque right there.
Those are the plaques right there? Isn't there a plaque as you come in the gate right in the middle of the Y before you go? It's sitting on a big piece of lava, like? Like, that's not a plaque?
They want that moved?
Oh, I don't know.
I
don't know what she wants moved, to be honest with you. That's why I'm asking if she's here and we could clarify this. I have no idea in this world.
That's not moving.
But what will happen is I will see if someone does know who wrote this question, and we will meet together and solve this problem. Next, what can we do about all the cats, rats, and raccoons in the park? I have talked with other residents regarding raccoons. We have removed 15 raccoons and relocated them. Had to stop since we got notice that was illegal and a $250 fine per movement.
That's expensive.
I need to talk to the owner of the woods where they nest and come to some understanding to get rid of raccoons and feral cats. One, because of others feeding them, and two, because of the potential for rabies. Working on it. I don't know enough about the rat situation, but we'll try to get more info. If you have info, please let me know. Now, to expand on this, I'm very familiar with the raccoons out of the woods because I live next to the woods, and I've had as many as 10 raccoons in my yard at night, but mostly 2 to 3 every night. And if I could shoot them, I would shoot them. But you know those little raccoons are cute, aren't they? But we're running into a serious situation. The top three animals susceptible to rabies on the East Coast and Florida are bats, dogs, and raccoons. Cats are number six. The raccoon rate of rabies has gone down almost to zero because of the pet owners are vaccinating their pets for rabies. Raccoons are still staying at about the same place, and as long as they keep reproducing, and I understand they reproduce like rabbits, they will continue to crowd us out. So here's my thinking. First, I need to tell you why we need to get rid of them, even though it's a bit at a time, is because of rabies. Rabies is a virus contracted by raccoons. They pass it on to other animals by a scratch or a bite. Once the person or animal gets scratched, you have until the blood that's tainted with the rabies gets to the brain before you die. There is an initial shot that you get that has to be given within an average of about 7 days. That's about how long it takes to get from the wound to the brain. So, I don't want to scare you, but the fact of the matter is we have never heard of one in this area, as far as I know, of anyone getting rabies or a raccoon getting rabies. But don't feed them, don't play with them, don't nurse them, don't do anything with them. We're going to find a way to cut the population down or get rid of them entirely. I'm going to talk to the owner of that wooded property. Maybe we can come to an understanding. Maybe he can fence the back of the shopping center. That's where most of the feeding goes on. Mm-hmm. Although there are signs out there, $250 fine for feeding animals, nobody pays any attention to it. So if we could fence that back area and close it up, say halfway up the fence, maybe that's a beginning. Maybe we can start doing that. But he has to agree to it. He may not agree to it, but maybe we can work something out. The other thing, if that doesn't work, we can't move the animals, then maybe we've got to think outside the box. Two thoughts were maybe an electric fence, like you put around a farm. You know, maybe a reproductive system where you inject them, shoot them with a dart, and it affects the reproductive system so they can't produce any babies. Now, I know for a fact that this has been done where I'm from, because there's an island off the coast where I'm from that has a number of wild ponies on board. And the wild ponies, the herd was growing. So what they did was they shot them with this reproductive thing, and now the herd has maintained a size that they can manage. So it's there. That's all got to be researched with the local humane people who pick up the animals, or they don't pick up raccoons, but those people, maybe that we can do something about that. So stick with me. We're going to try to get this moving one way or another. Okay, next question. Have people, residents, guests, follow rules at the pool? Have them follow rules at the pool? We have four signs of pool rules at the pool. I'm not sure why people don't follow those rules, except that some people just don't follow the rules. I have made a request to Cherie to take one of the pool signs and install it at the entrance to the pool. It may be a little unsightly, it may not be followed, but at least it's a beginning. Otherwise, we certainly ask that those people who go to the pool follow the pool rules. You know, and if you're there and say, "You didn't take a shower. How come you didn't take a shower?" That it might cause a confrontation, which you might not want to get involved in. So we were hoping that people would just take the initiative to do that. Okay. Question 6. Handicap parking with stickers only. Now, I know that there's a number of handicap parking spots out there. And I know somebody says to themselves, "Well, why not just park in one when it's empty? Because it's convenient." But you know, and I know, that federal law says you cannot park in a handicapped space unless you have a disabled tag or a placard on your rear view mirror. You know that and I know that. And I'll tell you a story. I was taking care of my mother from age 60 until she passed away at 92. She was crippled. She'd been crippled for 50 years. So I had to take her in a wheelchair every time she went outside. It started with a cane, then it went to a walker, then it went to a wheelchair. Nothing aggravates a person who's got a handicapped mother going to the grocery store than somebody just comes up and parks in a handicapped space and it's the last one and they don't have a card and they tag or a placard and they just get out and walk normal to the store. Makes you want to shoot them. But you kind of got to rely on the person to do the best thing, knowing that others are suffering. And that sometimes they need help. Here's where they need help. Don't park in that space unless you're handicapped with a placard or a disabled tag. Don't do it. You know better. You're adults. I'm adult. Let's all do the right thing here. Okay. How do we enforce the fines to people who continue to feed cats? I don't know. You know, people have been doing that since I've been here. And we're going to keep on trying. We're going to be discussing at the next meeting the fine system or elimination of it or something and see what we can come up with. But at this point, if you all have an idea at the end of the meeting, let me know. Good? Number 8, people are not cleaning up after their dogs on Cheswick Circle and Mystic. Dogs are not leashed, fine, or what? The problem is we have no police on the property and therefore have no way to check on violators. Presently, we are depending on the honesty of the violator. I think it would be best if you see this happening, say something to that person. If after this continues, please notify a member, if you know the person, of the board with the name of the person, and we will send a letter to stop that practice. That's about the most I can give you on that, to be honest with you. You know that you have to pick up after your dog. You should be picking up after your dog. Please do it. And I guess if I have to remind you every doggone meeting, I'm not going to do that. Just do the right thing. All right. Why do some people pay taxes and holiday park fees and some people don't pay fees and nothing is done about it? Now, here's what I'm going to do. We have an all-knowing and all-seeing person here in the front who knows a lot about this subject, and I'm going to ask him to give us an understanding of what's going on and anything that we can do about it. So, Bruce, if you would grab the mic, please. The 3 minutes are suspended for now.
Okay, Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I got involved with the fine tax certificate problem probably at the end of 2014. We've done a lot of work on it. If anybody wants to see it, it's right here. I'll show it to you. Basically, if you don't pay your assessments or your taxes, say November of whatever last year, by June or July of this next year, they will put a tax certificate on your house. It goes up for auction and anybody can buy it. If the tax certificate is sold, Holiday Park gets their money. If the tax certificate is not sold, we do not get our money. So the people skate for a whole year for free. The next year, the same thing happens. They don't pay the taxes. The next year, the tax certificate is sold. This goes on and on forever. If somebody who buys a tax certificate, on like the third year, they can actually force a tax sale. But nobody ever enforces it. Don't ask me why. A year or so, a year and a half ago, Brevard County is owed hundreds of millions of dollars. They finally got smart and they're starting to enforce it. They're forcing the tax liens, they're taking over the properties, and at least something is getting done. Holiday Park now, I think, has 9 houses that are owned by Palm Bay, which is going to create another problem shortly because I don't know what they're going to do with them. Anyways, in 2015, there were 23 certificates issued. 9 of them were not sold, so we didn't get money for 9 of them. 2016, it increased to 32 certificates. 2017, it went to 49 certificates in this park. In 2016, I gave a report to the board, at which time we were owed approximately $90,000 in money in arrears. As of today, which would have been when I dated this 2018 in July, we were owed $127,000. I haven't updated it the last year and a half because it's way up here someplace. So anyways, we now have houses in here that are owned by Palm Bay. I think there's 9 of them, if I stand corrected. To explain a little bit further, if Brevard County issues an auction sale and the house does not sell, it goes into, believe it or not, a stupid situation where it goes into lands available. Don't ask me why, but that's the system. And it sits there for 3 years in lands available. At the end of 3 years, Brevard County can now force to go to the court and have a deed issued on that land. If they have a deed issued on that land, all money becomes zero. Everything that's owed us is zero. All liens are zero. And that's what happened to these 9 houses. All that money is lost. That's where we are today.
Did you ever answer the question about how we can prevent this from happening?
I don't even have a clue what stupid idiots ever put this in. Somebody had to vote this in the legislature. But that's the system. Now, we had several houses that were sold, and we lost as much as $18,000 or $20,000 on those houses. And we can't do anything about it.
We can't go up and knock on the door or nothing like that.
Nope. That's the story.
Did everybody understand that? Somewhat. I know, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I think it's difficult to understand that kind of thing, especially when you're dealing with the government. So the way I see it is some people can continue not pay their taxes. We have no recourse, and we're stuck. Only it's like a lock. It's only good for honest people, and that's us, right? So we'll continue to pay our taxes, and those people get off scot-free, I guess. Unless we go to the mayor and council, maybe, and start in that direction. That's an idea.
Terry, can I interject a little bit here?
We have been trying to be more proactive now that we are kind of understanding what's going on. We've had several people that were denied their decals until their taxes were paid. That was effective. So we're making a little bit of headway there. We're finding different ways where we can force them to pay their taxes by withholding different things that they may need, decal, for example. So we are now at where we are becoming more proactive. I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Appreciate that, I really do. Okay, we're moving in the right direction. Next question. Can we take golf carts on the sidewalk to CVS and Sunshine Diner? I asked the police when I talked to the police last week, and here was the answer I got. The answer is golf carts cannot be driven on sidewalks anywhere in the city or area. No sidewalk riding with golf carts off this property. If golf carts are driven on a highway, they must be able to match the speed on the highway and be registered and tagged. I've seen that. I've seen somebody from here go across Malabar Road to Home Depot or wherever they're going over there. You're on your own as far as that goes, because legally, the cart has to go as fast as the speed limit. Malabar Road's 45 miles an hour, the speed limit. The golf cart must go 45 miles an hour, but it must be registered and tagged. So, what? Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's your answer. No one is going to stop you at the gate. We're all adults and grown-up people. If you decide to take that venue, it's on you. Of course, you'll be fined if you get caught. And it's probably a decent fine for that kind of thing. I think it's like $10,000. It's not $10,000. But you're on your own when you come to that. So no going on the sidewalk. The only other option we may have someday down the road is we build a cart path from the gate to CVS. All right?
There's a little snag. We own that sidewalk, I believe.
Doesn't matter.
It's our property.
Doesn't matter. The cops said, Bruce, you cannot ride on that sidewalk with a golf cart. Now, I won't have to say that again. Okay. All right. So, that's 10 questions. One thing I forgot to mention was during the time we talked about raccoons and cats and bats and all that, was rats. Didn't talk about rats. Quite frankly, I'm not familiar enough other than when I see it, kill it, that kind of thing. I have heard of rats being around here, and you know, I don't know what to tell if we got an exterminator for rats, where they're located, because you don't want to spray discriminately. You don't want to put rat poison, or put whatever you use, pellets or whatever. You don't want to put rat poison everywhere, and you don't want to endanger anybody's health. So, if anybody knows or can point out, if you could come up with me to me after the meeting, so we could get an idea of where the rats are in your area. Doggone if we won't see if we can get us a vote to get a rat person here and do whatever they do with them. I don't know if you spray them or put pellets out. I don't know. And anyway, we'll get that problem solved one way or another. Okay? Okay. That's it for the questions. Does the board have any comments? Jack.
On item number 4, what can we do about the cats, rats, and raccoons? I think I was foolish enough to bring this up at a meeting about the cats. I wasn't talking about raccoons then, but since that time when I brought that up and we had a pretty good discussion, I have taken it upon myself, because I've heard the discussion among the barbers at Woody's, where I get my haircut, and one comes in from outside and says, we got about 12 people out there feeding the cats and the raccoons. So I've made it a point to take a drive. I went around that shopping center, circled the whole thing, and there are people out there that are feeding the cats. They drive their cars up there, and then they have little bowls out and everything. So when we talked about this before, Bob, am I right when I said I thought you had a pretty good idea, Mr. Shearer, about convening a meeting with the property owner of that shopping center? And maybe we could wield a little bit more influence if we had that person on our side to try to get rid of the problem. As Terry said, it's well posted behind all those shops. Don't feed the animals, $250 fine. And it's just ignored. Pardon me? Bob.
Thank you.
Jack, this has been going on since November of 2019. That's when you brought it up. I have it with me.
Sherry, did you send any letters to these owners on the other side of this fence?
I spoke to the law, I've called them. I spoke with the owners of Siggy's, and they are on board with us 1,000%. The biggest culprit over there is the Japanese restaurant. They stopped for a while, and then they started back up again. But I have talked with CBS, I've talked with Siggy's, most importantly, the Florida Fish and Wildlife. They're supposed to be making random checks. I don't know if they have, but they're the people that can really enforce that, and they really should be, and fining them.
Well, that's not happening yet, apparently.
No, it isn't. So
I
like the idea of getting together. You're not going to talk to the owner of the strip mall or whatever, but I think the management company needs to be contacted.
How about we go to the mayor and council of Palm Bay? You know, let's do that. I will contact them to see if we can get on their agenda, see if they can give us some help on this thing. I'll tell them the police are not doing a very good job. I'll tell them I never need to be told, but we'll get that started. All right? Okay. That does it for chairperson announcements, almost completely. But the next thing is the Architectural Control Committee vote. If Gary would come up here. Is that Gary? There are 3 applicants for the Architectural Control Committee and 2 spaces. So, if Gary could help us out by giving a recommendation of who the Architectural Control Committee feels that they would like to work with,
sure,
that would help us out.
Okay, I think there's only 2 here. Could Bob Ady and Howard Wiggle please stand up? People recognize you. I didn't bring a copy of the resume, got a very poor.
Well, what if we ask them? Would you gentlemen have an interest in stepping forward and giving us a little bit of background on why you would be good for this job? Up here at the mic. Just give us your name and address.
Good evening. My name is Robert Addy. I live at 1000.
Closer to the mic.
Robert Addy. I live at 1000 Vista Court.
Now, Mr. Addy, could you give us your background a little bit and be relative to this position?
I started back in 1968 as a draftsperson designer when I came out of school. And I've worked in that trade my entire life, 44 years. Doing civil engineering, civil design, with a specialty in site work for shopping centers, roadways, highways, industrial and residential subdivisions, so forth. I do have a copy if somebody would like to look at my resume, but it's been a lifelong experience for me to work in the trade.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yep.
I served on the board for a while, and my thing, I find the court was designed 50-some years ago, and the stuff we're putting in today is hard to fit on some of these things. And I'm just wondering, I'm not saying we go against the rules, but I think we need to have people from the ACC, when they see something that will work that doesn't bother anybody, we can give a little bit of variance to a we look at that and then bring it to the board to see if we can get that done so we can bring in new units. And are you acceptable to that type of thought?
That was one of the major things that I did in my last 10 or 15 years working in the business, was to take problems that people had between towns and the builder, developer, designer, and sort of pull everything together with site work so the project would work.
Thank you. That's, I think, really, to keep the park improving, we need that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Your turn.
Well, hello. My name's Howard Waggle. I live at 1157 Center Lane. I'm a new resident, just coming in on this past November. I have prior civic experience, but I haven't done that in quite a while, but I'm willing to volunteer my time to serve the community and the people here, if so be it. I'm a level-headed thinking person. I'm very agreeable, and if they will accept me, I would like to serve.
Do you have any experience in construction?
In what?
Construction.
Only years ago when I was starting out. For 22 years, I was actually a machinist in aerospace and defense, so I kind of was on the other spectrum.
Now, you know, sir, I'll be honest with you, almost every one of us had experience 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I have the same question we asked the other gentleman. Sometimes you have to work together with the owner and with the park and really come to a nice understanding of how we can make something work.
Yeah, to be a liaison between. Yes, I have no problem with that. Like I said, I'm very level-headed. I work things out. I don't jump at a decision, and I'm not influenced by anyone but my own decision, and that'll be in the best interest of the people and the community.
And the park.
Yes.
Thank you.
May I ask, have you ever attended an ACC board meeting? Sir, have you ever attended an ACC board meeting?
Yes, I had, because I was applied for a permit or to get permission to add a driveway or a pavers to my property in order to create another parking spot. And that was done just recently. But I have not served on the board. I was in front of the board for it, but I had not served on the board.
Right. So you were you're familiar with the ACC rules and regulations?
Yes. I read that and approached.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate
thank you.
Well, I just wanted to ask them.
Oh.
Wait a second. Hold it. I wanted to ask you a question.
Oh, okay.
So she asked you about the rules of the park.
Right.
And so if you studied the rules, right, correct?
The ones that I've been given so far, I don't have a full list. Like I said, everything here so far has been new to me.
Now, anything that doesn't go along with the rules, they have to have the space and everything, that's going to need to come before the board. The ACC board can't approve it before the board approves it. I just want you to know that, because I think...
Oh, okay, well, it's a learning. Yeah,
well,
I didn't know that.
What he's saying is basically you can approve things that are
true,
following the rules. But if you're going to change or create a variance on a certain one situation,
right,
that has to come in front of the board.
Oh, absolutely. And I did all that prior to coming here. I knew by visiting the city three times with the variance and how much land I really don't own. And I'm aware of that.
I'm sure you're in good hands with the ACC committee.
They seem like a very nice group of guys, and I was very pleased with how they treated me, yes.
All right.
I would like to bring up their alternates. So for the majority of the time, 90% of the time, the primary members will be there. And when I was an alternate, it was a learning curve. And so as long as the alternates attend the meetings, even though there's a full committee, I think that's a benefit to them and to everybody else in the future, because there's going to be another opening in April.
Well, I was just going to, well, two things.
Yes,
one, we have another applicant too. You want to speak about that also? We do have three applications.
He never brought it to the ACC. He turned it directly into the office. I wasn't aware of it. So,
so, kind of you're disregarding this?
Could be.
You have no. You basically have no comment on that. You have no comment on the third.
No comment.
And he is not here. That's not here. Martin.
Not here.
Peterson.
Not here.
He's not here.
No.
Thank you.
I have to say, when I was on the ACC board, I was brought on by Jim as an alternate, and it is a learning curve. It's on-the-job training. And apparently it worked, because look where I am now. All right. So I don't know, being a new guy on this board, but my first time full meeting, I don't know the process for voting, so if somebody could help me with this process.
Motion to approve. We just have a make a motion to approve the two. I would make a motion to approve the two that people were that were here for the ACC board.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Jack. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nay? None, saying it's... I heard A from everybody, didn't I?
Okay.
Yeah. Nay, zero. Does the committee have any comments? No? Okay, I think, okay.
They have to come forward.
Okay.
Gentlemen, can you come to the front?
Come on back up here. Not Gary, but you guys, you need to be sworn in.
We have to have you on the microphone.
Okay, gentlemen, raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear. That I will support, protect, and defend, the Constitution, and government of the United States, and of the state of Florida, that I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state. That I will well, and faithfully perform the duties of no, I didn't. Trustees of the Architectural Control Committee of the Port Malabar, Holiday Park, Mobile Home Park, Recreation District, on which I am now about to enter. So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. All right. I have items that I'm going to raise that we'll need to discuss. Is that all right with you all?
Could we just get the approval?
That would be the next item on it, Joanne.
Okay.
Yeah, I see you smiling.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy.
Okay. The next is going to be approval for minutes of January 6th. January 17th?
No.
January 7th, 15th?
Okay, I have no idea what you're saying. Yeah, I have to get this done first, and I'll get right to TV channels. Don't yell at me. All right, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Okay, this is approval of the minutes. a necessary endeavor that we have to do. It's not going to hurt anybody. We're going to take care of it. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes for January 6, 2020? It says 6.
But
you
start,
you know, right.
What does he got?
January 9th, 2020.
December 9th.
December 9th.
12-9.
We may have a position available here before it's all over with. Approval of meeting minutes, December the 9th, 2019. Can I get a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Barbara?
She did.
I did.
Barbara. All those in favor? Is nobody in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Yes.
Opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Now, approval for minutes, January 7th, 2020. Can I get a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Second.
Second by Joe. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is passed. Approval of minutes for January 15th, 2020. Motion?
I so move.
Moved by Keith. Second?
I second it.
By Joe. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is passed. Now, I see you. Now we're going to get to the TV schedule. I called Spectrum because it's very difficult to work with Spectrum as far as I'm concerned on a computer. There's nothing I hate more than talking to a computer. So I finally got somebody and made the effort to see what would be the channels that we are now having for the TV. I put some sheets up there on the table for those who can pick them up. If there is any, if there isn't any, we'll get some more. Don't worry about it. It includes what they call the basic channels and the, I believe it's silver, is it silver? Spectrum Select, and that's what we get. Do not ever hold me to that, because you know, dealing with a TV company, they're going to give you the channel lineup, and it may or may not be that channel lineup as you go along in life. Okay, but that, but this is pretty good. It's a pretty good rendering of the channels we'll get. All right? Everybody satisfied? There's no new business, no old business. This is a workshop meeting, so new business and old business is not discussed. This is under my business. Really. Okay? It's true, yeah. It's true. I checked it out. Stand by. All right. 2 weeks ago, we had two bikes stolen. One on Caver Court and one around somewhere else, but in that area. The homeowner of one of them, I don't know about the other, contacted the police. And let me tell you, if you contact the office about it before you contact the police, the office is not going to do any more than contact the police. So just call the police. I happened to go in the office after this was done, assuming that we had cameras to pretty much lighten up all areas that need to be lightened up. I didn't see the front gate on there, and I was wondering why we did not have a camera on the front gate, unless I thought maybe somebody said, well, you got people working there, you shouldn't need a camera. Except that the people do not check cars going out of the development. As a matter of fact, they may be on a computer, they may be going to the bathroom, they may be reading a book, you know, if they don't have anybody coming in. The car just whizzes. Some of the cars stop leaving on Sunday night. So they just go out. So they're not checked. So my thinking is why don't we have a camera out there? Now here, we do have a surveillance sign that says, you're under surveillance, but not here. And I'm wondering, why don't we have one there? So I thought we needed to bring this up and discuss it. We could get with a motion, we can get Cherie to get three bids on camera at the front gate, or cameras, whatever's necessary. Now, we need to make the stipulation that one of the cameras should take a wide view, cars coming and leaving, and one of the cameras at least should take a rear view of the car leaving, because I was thinking when the police came up to check this out, if they ever do,
they won't.
Although most of, you know, you keep telling them, don't tell me they won't.
No, they won't.
I know they won't, which means I know that they won't. But if they did, there's nothing, no evidence for them to check somebody's license plate. Who went out of here at 2 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock a.m.? Because that's when it was done, basically. So, if you're in agreement, I think we should discuss this, and then if you would make a motion that I can tell Cherie to get three bids on a security camera company.
Well, let me make a comment on that. Since I've been here, I've been robbed three times, once during the hurricane and two times over at Shell Court. The police came, they have two police reports. The third one was the contractor that was doing my, so there's people in the park that are stealing, most likely. They were doing the carport, and he left his tools outside. You know, he didn't call me. I noticed them out there. He didn't call me, I would have put him away. I would put him in the house. The police came, and the police told me, well, you know, because I know we have some surveillance cameras here and there. They will not look at a surveillance unless it's a major crime, like a rape or a murder. So they're not going to look at it. So if you put these cameras in, a waste of money, so you're going to have to do the investigation and try to find this guy. Good luck. I think it's a waste of money. Do not put the cameras in. The cameras that you have right now are only a deterrent, like you would for a dog. You know, a dog in the house is a deterrent. The cameras are a deterrent. The police are not going to look at these films. I can just tell you that from, this is what they told me.
You're right.
So, I think don't do it. It's just a waste of money. I'm not going to vote for it.
Okay. I'll get to you, Bruce. I don't feel that way. I feel like you can do something or you can do nothing. And I'd rather do something so that we have it available if we need it. Now, there should be surveillance cameras at a gate, at a front gate. There should just be there. They ought to be there. There might be other things that happen that we're not aware of unless you see that. Maybe it's not always called the police for a bicycle, you know. Maybe it's something, somebody's done something, and we need to have that video available to see if we need to. That's my opinion.
My comment is on, we have these cameras in other places and they're costing us a couple $100 a month to run, and we're not really getting anything out of them. I understand where Joe's coming from to a point. However, I would like to see more an indication of some way to let the gate people know when somebody's pulling up to the gate or going out of the gate, because a lot of times they don't know that. I mean, just notice that. If you want to... we have two cameras over here that I think we could use someplace else, because I think motion lights would do more good at those places where when they come through the crawl over the back gate or something, a motion light would come on and a light would come on, people would go back. I mean, getting the camera is the thing, and I don't know is what it's going to cost us. Anything like the modems out at these other places, it costs us $100 a month to run them, and we're not really getting anything from them. Like I say, a motion light would be better. I presume we have a modem already at the gatehouse that we're running the computer off of, But I think we need to do something that would help us indicate. I can see where you could maybe have one camera or something where you're taking picture of license plates that are going out or something like that, and maybe use one of those. But before we do anything, to vote yes or no, my first thing would be for Cherie to get some bids on what it might do to cost, and then we can look at it and discuss it and see what's happening.
Keith, you know, there's a lot of dark places in this park, and really there should be some motion lights or something to light them up. I mean, there's some really dark places.
And
they can go in there and take anything they want, and nobody will ever see them.
And I agree with that, but you would need to talk to residents that are around those places when the bright lights come on at 2 in the morning. You know, that would be the thing. And there's probably some residents that wouldn't mind having bright lights come on at 2 in the morning if somebody's out there wandering around.
Well, if you got somebody walking around stealing your stuff, you might say thank you.
Yeah, but if it's three raccoons, they may not.
Oh, well, that's true, too. Well, maybe they'll stop feeding them then.
I believe Terry was just asking for a motion to allow Cherie to go and get three bids. The discussion after the bids come in with the price is something else. So
I'll make a motion. We let Cherie take a look at the cost of putting cameras at the gatehouse.
Is there a second?
Another option.
I'll second that.
Second.
Discussion.
All those in favor?
No.
Oh, excuse me.
You make a motion.
Excuse me. You're going to embarrass me, man. All right. The board's had their comments. Any other comments on the board?
Patty Peck, 1014 Willow. It's my understanding that even though we have all these surveillance cameras, there's no retrieval capability, is what I've been told. All right, so yes, the pictures are up within the office or the guardhouse or whatever, but if there's an issue, there's no way to say, I need today's date at 10 a.m., what came through there. Is that correct? So what good is it?
You can retrieve the information. You just have to go back, and there's 14 right now. And all you have to do is go into that one camera and just back it up. I believe the memory is 15 days, 2 weeks, 14 days.
Okay, because I had been told they weren't paying for somebody to a company to survey.
No, we don't have to do that. We can do it ourselves.
Because we've had stuff stolen from the refrigerator. Oh, we can't look and see because we have no retrieval capabilities.
I don't know
what I've been told in the past.
That's not true. We certainly do.
Wrong.
We do. We can back them up and we can see everything in here, the kitchen, pool, a few for the pool, the parking lots, both sides, Americana, Moonlight, maintenance. So, yes, we do have 100% capability.
Okay, Bruce.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Many years ago, we had zero cameras in here.
Okay.
Whatever. We had some problems out here a while ago where we was involved in a lawsuit. Nobody ever looked at the cameras. So we had zero. We spent thousands of dollars putting in those two cameras down there, installing the post. It went on and on and on for 3 years before the cameras ever got set up and running. All that time, we were paying money on it. We were paying the electric bill. We got the Spectrum bill for $200-something a month. It is a waste of time. That's my opinion. We have had thefts in this park ever since I've been here 20-something years. People have been told to put a bicycle chain on their bicycles. They don't do it. We've had golf carts driven right out through the gate out there. Now, wouldn't you think it was funny in the middle of the night if a golf cart goes out the gate? Are we paying guards? We had two golf carts stole the same night. I don't know what the answer is, but spending more money on all this stuff isn't the answer, I'm telling you. Because you're going to end up with another $150, $200 bill up there if you put a camera up there. Let's try to save expenses. We just redid the whole box in the office for several thousand dollars a while back to run all these cameras for the second time.
Okay, that's your opinion,
yep,
right?
That's my opinion.
Okay.
Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. My feeling is, yeah, you can have cameras everywhere. What you need is a pedestrian gate. So when pedestrians are walking in or out or going out on their bicycles, which I do all the time, I go up to CVS on my bicycle, I actually have to stop, go and knock on the door and say, listen, I'm going up to CVS and I'll be back. Oh, yeah, no problem. They don't look at you. That's where the pedestrians are coming in that aren't part of the park. They just walk in. If we had a gate that they had to push the buzzer and whoever's there has got to answer it and let them in, and then also if we had a gate down like we have coming in, that the gate guard has to push the button and the gate goes up and the car can go out. That's all we need to stop all this stuff. We don't need cameras everywhere, but if we had a pedestrian gate, that would stop a lot of the theft.
I like it.
Bob Scheer, 382 Holiday Park. I happen to agree with Steve. I think that's good. Part of your problem with your cameras is, listen, I have Blink at my house, okay? The minute somebody goes on my property, it comes up on my phone. Very easy to do. We could do that here because we're right. Right now, we don't have a system of really monitoring what happened last night, okay? But it's, you know what it cost me, by the way? This. I bought the app. I bought the cameras for $500. Everything's hooked up. As long as you have Wi-Fi out there, you're set. And we should not be paying any kind of monthly fees. My God, people are putting animal cameras up every day on farms all over the place to watch their deer, their bear, whatever. That's the simplest thing. If somebody's charging you a monthly fee to do this, that's crazy. It should be a system where maybe the main gate, there is a camera, but you can't have it running 24 hours a day because it would be blinking all day. So the guard says, I turn it off at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the guard says, I turn it on at 11, 12 o'clock at night when the main thefts are going to happen. Then you could monitor that system very easily without spending a lot of money.
Thank you.
Chuck Rohn, 220 Burrell Circle, Holiday Park. You know, it just sounds like we're trying to spend money. That's what we're trying to do. You know,
go ahead, man.
Listen. Let me speak. Let's put a camera on every stop sign.
Here we go.
Every stop sign. And take a picture of every person that goes through the stop sign without stopping. It's a great big... Sherry, how much money do we spend on signs that you send me to pick up? How much we spent?
A couple thousand dollars.
A couple thousand dollars, okay. And I'm going to tell you something. You might as well take them and shove them where the sun doesn't shine because 90% of the people don't pay any attention to them. Well, I looked. Yeah.
But they don't stop.
All right, this
that's a waste of money. You know, we're common sense is all we need, common sense and respect is
the world
easy.
Is full of people who don't have common sense.
Well, you know, this is a group of people here that's retired, and they don't want to live under rules. It's that simple.
Oh, is that right? Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for your comment.
If you can figure it out, you're going to be a multi-billionaire to make it work.
I don't need all that money.
So well, Chuck, I want to say something. Does that include feeding the feral cats and the raccoons?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
You didn't hear you.
I said, talk about rules. Does that include feeding the feral cats and the raccoons?
Why do you bring in the raccoons?
You're talking about rules and people not following rules. I'm just saying, does that include... feeding the feral cats and the raccoons.
If you're trying to embarrass me, save
I'm
your breath.
I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Save your breath.
I'm trying to make you stop.
I feed feral cats.
Okay, I would
They're all
this.
Fixed.
Excuse me.
Every one of
yeah,
them.
Good. All right.
So if you want to go shoot them, try it, and then you're going to get your ass in trouble.
Time's up. Time's up. Thank you.
Bob Shortledge, 190 Holiday Park Boulevard. My understanding is the cameras we have now are on-time cameras. What that means, if you're not looking at that monitor and somebody comes through that back gate, if you take your eyes off of it, somebody comes through that back gate, you can't go back and see if they did. What we need, if we're going to put cameras up, we need the ones that we can record and go back a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Because the reason why I say I believe they're on-time cameras, because when I was on the board, we had somebody back into the back gate. We thought it might have been a garbage truck. We asked at that time to go back and look, because we thought they were recording cameras. We asked to go back to that date, even a couple days, and they said, we can't do that. That's not what our cameras are about. We have on-time cameras. And the thing of it is, on-time camera at the front gate, all you're doing is you're taking his eyes and taking him off the road and putting him on a screen. That's all you're doing. If we have somebody at that front gate, he's our camera. He's the guy that sees what comes in and goes out because he can see between those gates. That's what he sees. So what are the cameras going to do? Not unless they're recording cameras, because right. If he takes his eyes off of that camera, off of that monitor, anything can happen. And if you can't go back and find out it recorded, he doesn't know, just like the back gate. We didn't know who backed into the gate because we have on-time cameras. Thank you.
Bob, stop in the office tomorrow. I want to show you. Those are not on-time cameras. I had the AV people come out, and they showed us how to work them, and they really do record.
Okay, then why couldn't we find out who backed into the gate when that happened?
We couldn't find the data, but they do record. That was an isolated incident. I'm not pro or against. I'm here just to report that they are not on time. They do record. We had a glitch in the system for that particular incident, but they do record.
Because I was just saying, at that time, we asked for that, we got the answer was they're on-time cameras.
No, that's incorrect. We can retrieve
but
it.
But they're recording cameras. That's exactly what you want, because then you can go back.
We had a glitch with that system, or with that incident.
Right.
But they do record. Stop in. I'll show you how they work.
Right, okay.
All right.
But like I said, at cameras at the gate, you either want him looking at the monitor, or you want him looking out at the gates. That's up to you.
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we make part of the request with the motion a price on a recording camera for the gate? And why don't we include in that what Steve said about what pedestrian gate and get a price on that, Cherie?
Yes, sir.
And get a price on a pedestrian gate.
A gate for the sidewalk.
If we could amend.
Yeah, we'll amend the motion.
Amend the motion to cover.
If you choose to.
Yeah, I choose to amend it to cover any type of security system that will help.
I think the pedestrian and the bicycle.
Gates, cameras, and different systems.
Bicycle and pedestrian, I don't mind doing the research. However, that's a big area. How do we isolate it? How was it built? Where do we start?
Well, what if you get the prices and we'll worry about
get prices on what? I don't understand, like a gate or where to put it or
a pedestrian gate.
Okay.
It would have to be where the sidewalk comes.
Where the sidewalk at the end of the bushes?
Yeah. Cars coming out, cars coming
where it comes in the sidewalk.
The end of the bushes.
I'll second his amended
motion. Okay. All those in favor. Say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Now, the next item is deed restrictions. I want to let you know that Jack, when he was chairman, appointed a committee to look at the deed restrictions. Now, there's only five articles, so five deed restrictions. Isn't that right, Gaston? Five. There's many subsections, many sections to each deed restriction, but article-wise, there's only five. I believe that's true. That's true. So what they're doing is they're going through the deed restrictions and seeing if there is any, not recommendation, but options that would be available to us or need to be changed for a deed restriction. Last time I believe it was done in 2015, maybe. Times have changed, things have changed, it may be updated. We may find that's, well, let me give you an example. Buzz, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, would you please come to the mic, please? This is my next door neighbor, Buzz, and he came to me with an issue, and we didn't know how to answer it, and it has to do with name and address.
I just need your last name.
Okay. Buzz Bear, 1240 Caber Court.
Bear?
Bear, like the aspirin.
Bear.
Oh, Bear.
Yeah.
Tell him. Aspirin factory.
Tell the folks what your concern was, Buzz. Tell them what your concern was.
Well, my concern is, as a property owner, I can't buy another piece of property, even if I plan to sell mine.
Because but you can
the,
only
but
own
the
one
drug
unit.
Guy down in Miami can come in here and buy a piece of property, but I can't upgrade or I can't downgrade, even though I put a contract or sign a contract says I'm selling my property. Why would I want to pay HOA tax and property tax on a piece of property that no one's living in? I should have the right to buy another piece of property.
And still own the one he's got.
No, wait a minute. I'll sell mine.
But they have to correspond with the same day.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I don't. If you can only own one house
as long as
at a time,
there is a grace period in between.
I don't think I saw that in the deed restrictions.
Oh.
No, there isn't.
No, it's not.
No, there isn't.
But we can make it.
Right.
Let's see why we can.
So this is a point, that kind of point, that needs to be brought to these guys' attention. They're still active. And if you have something you think that's kind of unique, that we're not dealing with a deed restriction, maybe you should talk to Gaston or Bruce or who else.
There's four of us. There's Bruce, Bob. Can you stand up there, young fellow?
Bob.
Thank you. And one we just lost. She left the room. Becky.
Becky.
Okay. She was aggravated that she didn't bring this up earlier. No, I'm just kidding. So. Some of the things we're working on is that for one person to own two properties, live in one, rent the other.
Thank you.
So that'll answer your question. There's a few others, but it's too vague to start bringing it up in front of everybody because this will have to go through all of you to vote, and the majority will rule. So if we get 400 people, 201, I've got, what's your problem there? You got trouble with your thumbs?
Okay. Anyway, that's
you're one.
To keep you up to date on this, it's happening. So
Gaston,
we have to we're concerned about things that might be bothering in the deed restriction area. It's being worked on.
Who was on the committee
Gaston?
Again? Let's back up a second, Gaston. It's you and Becky and who?
Becky,
and
Bruce, and Bob.
Bob who?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, Barbara.
Okay. People were concerned that the LLC was coming in and buying properties. Well, the LLC is coming in and buying properties, and they're going through real estate brokers. And they don't take care of their properties, and they rent to anybody who they can, and you got a tough time finding the owners. I was at the bank, and this gentleman, his name was Colin, I don't think he's here tonight. He says to me, why wasn't I notified that we couldn't buy any other mobiles except the one we have? I was never notified. I said, where do you live? He says, in Canada, and I was never notified. He says, what can I do? If I want to buy another mobile, I said, you can't. Not until something is done with the deed of restrictions.
Yes,
there's
sir.
A lot of people in here don't want them, but I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have a neighbor buy one and make them take care of it than to have the LLC and somebody else go through a realtor and
that's
buy
right.
them, and we got some pretty bad people in here, okay? But that's entirely up to you people. That's not up to us. This is something you have to do.
Okay, we're making effort.
to see if we can take care of some of these things. Any way we can, Barbara.
Okay.
We're working. Okay, good. All right, the next thing is moving the exit lane. There's been concerns, considerations, thoughts about... Right here. Move exit lane.
Does everybody have that? I don't understand what we're doing.
Don't worry, I got this created. We got this thing covered. Okay, moving the exit lane to the other side of the building to prevent potential harm to our people crossing that lane in case a car comes in without a sticker on it. It's just in the thinking stages is all it is. There's no real work done on it at all. But I want you to know that it is in the thinking stages. It's being talked about. Yes, that's all. See, that's all. Okay. Oh, you have an answer for that? I don't have a question for that, Bruce.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Our guardhouse was set up originally to have the sliding doors on both sides. It was set up originally to have entrance and exit. For some reason, it was never done. Joanne, a few years ago, we had a picture of this. We were going to design it and redo it. Then we were told by the city of Palm Bay that we couldn't put another exit onto the road. The only way you can design it now is have the guardhouse and have it come right around to the same road that we have coming in, because we're not allowed to put a second exit on the road out there. That was what we were told. But we did have a picture of the whole layout someplace here in the park.
Was it ever brought up to move the guardhouse?
It never got brought up because it just sat there
and died.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Actually, it was rerouting. It was rerouting the exit to go behind the guardhouse and then out.
Okay, so that's where we are. The thinking stage, basically.
Okay.
I'm sorry, is there someone have a question?
Terry?
Bob?
Terry? Terry? Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Cherie has a picture of it. You want her to go and get it?
No. We had a big green poster of it. Yeah.
Hey, this is Bob Shearer, 382 Holiday Park. Before she goes and gets it, I know who drew it up even.
You.
So, and it is. No, I left it in the office here. It was a sketch. It wasn't exactly to scale and everything, but it showed the two entrances now. One would become right against the gatehouse, would be for visitors so that our guards do not have to step out into the road and get killed one day. The other one that you come in now would be a gate, okay, that they can open up with a buzzer just like they do now. But on the backside of the gatehouse, you come in, you make another turn, and it's going to be closed. We need to get it all done and then be able to go out. So you come in one gate, one lane, that spreads into two, if I'm making sense, then the two lanes coming in now, two lanes, one in and one out, it'll still be one in and one out. It can work, okay? But this is something, I was just talking to Gaston in a meeting, we talked about this, we're jumping ahead because we were going to propose something here. This is something that you need to get an engineer. The one guy who was here said he was a civil engineer. Okay, this is exactly what you need, is someone that can help us design that. Then you put this whole project out to bid. This is nothing you're going to fix in 6 months, okay? This is going to take a lot of work because Joe won't want to hear this. We're going to have to spend a little bit of money to get this done, okay? Which is part of the, listen, my God, we're going to make more money this year and we're going to know what to do with, okay? Spend the money. I'm not leaving it for my kids, okay? I want to enjoy what we have right now.
Okay, when Cherie, I'm sorry, you had a, yes, sir.
Bob Addy, 1000 Vista Court. This is the first I've heard of this scheme, but I'm layout.
Layout.
Okay.
Layout.
Well, In thinking about it, I think the most dangerous part is that Bruce or whoever is there is standing on something about this wide.
Not even that
and
wide.
If we could shift the inbound lane and walkway wide enough to give him maybe a 3 or 4 foot raised island with a some sort of a barrier front and back so somebody just doesn't forget there's a barrier there and drive over him. But again, the gate on the outbound side, that could be left open when he's in the guardhouse and nobody's going back and forth. But then possibly when he steps out to get somebody coming in to see who's coming in, the gate would come down and would stay down until the car exiting stopped, and then a sensor would pick up something and let them out so they don't just drive right past them while he's there. And then you're not spending a couple of $100,000 to move the road around the back of the guardhouse. The island and some pavement and shifting it a little bit might save quite a bit of money. And like I say, the other exit gate will come down as long as he's on that island and stay down until somebody hits the sensor.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's an option. But remember, we're only in the thinking stage with this. That's all. Just got to keep you all aware. All right, we're done with that. My last thing is I want to let you know that I will arrange a meeting between Cherie and I, and we are going to run the fence line to locate, which has been done before apparently, all holes that have been dug with access to the other side of this fence here, all chain fence that has pulled apart somewhere, any areas that a human being or an animal can get through from the woods to our side of the fence. That, I mean, that's just common basic stuff that the in-house people can work on and fix up. The last thing I have is we're going to be discussing fines at the next meeting. We tabled that the last time we talked about it, so we'll be raising that issue for discussion again on the next meeting.
You're not going to do district manager's report?
That's all I have. But the district manager's report is next.
Yes, ma'am. You.
Okay, as many of you, I'm sure, have already noticed that the library/media room renovations are completed. HPPOA has purchased 4 chairs for the counter. There will be some other furnishings, 2 chairs and a table. Karen has volunteered to help with making some window treatments. Thank you so much for your expertise. And Joe Gallo is actually going to make, I believe it's called, Karen, what is that called, a valance?
No, a cornice.
So that's going to be made out of wood, and the fabric is stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. A little Florida pattern there, and the colors are just very soft and very welcoming. So that's in the works. Dwayne has installed the new delineator posts for the entrance to the park at the gatehouse. I don't know if you've noticed it, but those posts are pretty old. Anyway, he did it himself. He'll be painting the concrete posts and replacing signage at the entrance as needed as well. Dwayne and Lou they're in the process of power washing the wall behind CBS. Once that's power washed, all the cracks and repairs will be made, and then that will be painted. All of that's going to be done in-house. The deck at the front pond has been pressure washed, and we will be painting that and checking the integrity of the bottom of the structure of that as well. Next week, I will be working and getting more bids for repair and repaving the asphalt of all the streets in the park. So far, I have received 3 bids for the repair, cleaning, and sealing, and future replacement of the pool decks. When I have all of the proposed expenditures, they will be submitted to the Board of Trustees, at which time they can begin discussing setting up the reserve accounts for each of these major expenditures in the future. took that out of my report. Let's see. Okay. This is just for the, again, Keith had touched on this earlier. I am going to ask the trustees their opinion on replacing the cameras at Americana and Moonlight with motion detector lighting. The electric is already in place. We're currently paying Spectrum $200 per month for the modems and the service. So that's something I just would like the trustees' thoughts on. If they want to make a vote at the next meeting, consider it. I don't think the $200 is something we need to spend, even though these are not just on-time cameras. I believe motion sensor lights would be probably the way to go in that area. Save us $200 a month. I'll just use yours. Next week, like I said, I'll be working with more contractors to get the bids on the asphalt, the roads, and I will be getting more bids on sidewalks. Now, these are major expenditures. What I'd like to see in the future is when these things come up to be replaced, you don't have to take out loans. The money will be there in these reserve accounts, so if they're funded on a monthly basis, annual basis, you're not going to be caught off guard where, oh my goodness, guess what? These roads or the roof is now. We already know this is the longevity, this is the life of this, and so we won't have to scramble around looking for the money. The 2019 audit planning list is complete and has been forwarded to the auditors, so the audit is in full swing right now. Again, please note that the clubhouse parking lot is parking for events only. There's a 48-hour grace period. If you're moving, if you have to store your car or your RV, boat, trailer, etc., if you have to leave it there for a day or two longer, please come to the office if you have an extenuating circumstance. The park is busy. The park is filling up. And if everyone put their spare vehicle in the parking lot, nobody would have a place to park. Think about it. 700 plus. If everybody put their spare car or trailer, so please be courteous and don't park your vehicles there. Storage compound decals will start this Saturday, which is February 1st. You must bring your item from the storage compound to the office building. You need a current registration to get your new decal. Lou and I are inspecting the compound on a weekly basis. I don't know how I can enforce this, or we can enforce this, but when you're selling your homes, please notify the office, whether it's listed with a realtor or a private sale. This literally helps us keep an eye on who's coming in and out of the park. I believe people know that they must have an application. The application must be approved. However, it just would be a lot better for us administratively and security, everything above. Just if you are selling your home, please do notify the office. And again, one more item. Seasonal rental time is here. Please be sure your tenant checks in with our staff. They will have to fill out an application and pay the application fee, as well as having the home inspected. That goes for your sales as well. Your tenant will not be given a pass or a vehicle decal if they do not report to the office. And that goes for your prospective new owner as well. If they don't have an application, if the application is not approved, they will not get a decal. If it's something that needs to be worked on and it's going to take a week or two, we will issue a pass, but no permanent decals will be issued unless these repairs are done. And thank you, and have a good night.
Okay, thank you very much. I would be remiss in saying before we adjourn that I'd like to I know where I am to say.
Terry, I need comments.
Terry, I wanted to say something before, and you left the subject before I could.
Please.
Okay. You know about the pets that the people are not leashing their dogs. They let them loose. The best way to do this, you got cameras, take a picture of them, bring it to the office. That way they can't say, it wasn't me, it wasn't my dog, they're lying. You got a picture, they can't deny it. That would be the best way. Otherwise, it's, oh, no, I didn't, and oh, yes, you did.
Good.
Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Are there any trustee comments? Yes. No?
I didn't, Sharia, just a couple. We have a couple reports on incidences in the park, and they weren't brought up tonight. I was wondering, the one that had panhandling, have we looked at that at all? Because there was no comment.
We had about the gentleman walking up to the doors and knocking on them.
Let Sharia answer, please.
It was reported that a young man came in through the entrance. He went up to one of the homes at the beginning, at the front of the park, and he asked one of the residents for money. He said that he was staying at 437 Holiday Park Boulevard. It's not a secret. He blatantly said that's where he was. This is what I'm talking about sales. I did a little bit of research. This just happened today. And as it turns out, the owners had passed away. The daughter was given receivership of the home in 2018. She lived there for a while. She then moved, and she rented it to a woman. The woman filled out the application. This is after, you know, we have the new owner. She was approved. Evidently, her son has been staying with her. He is not on the application. So this is just something that we have to keep an eye on, and this just kind of reinforces the pedestrian, the bicycle gate that we need for pedestrians. So she says he's not living there, and this is up to all of us to keep an eye on. If you see someone that you don't feel needs to be in this park, please come to the office. You know, we like to think that we all have it together, but if you get some vulnerable person that comes to the door and sees this poor thing, oh, I need $5, you know, that's a mark. The next day he can go back there and he can ask for the same thing. You know, some of the people are not as strong as others, and that's what my concern is them preying on people that are vulnerable. They shouldn't be doing it, period. But if we can avoid this, you know, that's, of course, the most important and effective thing.
Okay.
Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. 2 days ago, I had a gentleman come to my door. He looked to me like he was a panhandler. First thing he said, I live in the park. I've lost my ID. He had a box and a bag. He says, I was wondering if you could take this prescription back to Walmart. Get the money, I'll give you $20. I said, get lost.
My advice is to call the police.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. My first and foremost, I don't care if he says
he lives in the park or what, you call the police. That's illegal. This is private property, and it's anonymous. They don't disclose who's calling. That is my suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Before we finish with this, are there any more comments from the...
Well, I had just two more that the bocce court, I hear it's not quite up to gate. Are we doing something on that?
We are doing something on that.
You're working on that, right?
Yes.
Satisfactory with the person that made the report?
That's in the process.
Okay. And
I got
also
it covered, man.
Okay. And also the gazebo, is that moving along or do you know?
February 4th is the delivery date.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now, any more comments from the board?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Yes, Joe.
Joanne?
The only thing I was going to say before we brought all this up was don't answer your door to anyone you don't know.
All right.
And then you?
You?
I do.
Gavin, you have any more?
Yeah, we had people coming on Facebook saying, there's this guy walking down the street at 10:30 at night, you know, and I just said, call the police. If somebody's walking down your street 10:30 at night that doesn't look like he belongs in the park, please call the police so they can go ahead and address the issue. Secondly, there's something that we can do. We're talking about crime. I'm going to ask Sheree to look into Crime Watch. Us as a community can be involved in Crime Watch. It's something that we can do, but they say that it does. They feel it's like a thing to the crime guys. So I think we could do that. That's another thing we can do, and there's a couple other things I'm going to. We could do that. Put okay. The sign up.
You good, Joe?
I'm done.
Okay. Barbara, you want to say anything else?
I don't have anything more. I'd like to hear what the public has to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They're waiting.
All right.
Our residents, they're important.
Bob Shortledge, 190 Holiday Park. Sheree, this is for you. I'm sure you're going to be able to help us all out because we're, you know, it's a dilemma that I'm probably going to have around Easter. I have a daughter who's going to be driving down here, driving her car. My driveway holds two cars. I have two cars. She's going to be here for 21 days is what we can say. She's not going to be, but let's say she's going to be. Where does she park?
Well, again, the parking lot is, it's 48 hours. There's extenuating circumstances. I don't know. I haven't been faced with this situation. I think a lot of times what happens is your neighbors are pretty accommodating, so I would probably check something if there's a space available near your home. Again, I haven't been, that hasn't been asked of me, you know.
Because I know this is going to happen to a lot of people here. That
I haven't
have
been asked, since I've been here, I haven't been
so
asked that.
Is there anything for a designated parking area?
No, there is not. And like I said, I haven't been faced with this. Most people have dealt with this on their own. You know, that might be something that you might want to research or talk to the board.
Let me
in the future.
Let me answer the question because I had
Lori
look this up for me because it's an ongoing problem. First of all, people in the park, you cannot park your vehicles on the grass. Period. You cannot park them. Now, if you have a visitor, the way our rules read, if you have a visitor, they can park on your grass for 48 hours, and after that, they come to Sheree, and Sheree can grant you the additional time in our parking lot for the 21 days. But if it's somebody that's going to be living here, you can't have three vehicles. That's
right. No, but I'm saying my daughter comes to visit.
Right, I just told you how to do
it. Are they
going to
make an exception for something like that for parking in the parking lot?
That's what Laurie looked it up for me because I asked.
That would be part of the extenuating circumstances. But like I said, I haven't been asked this.
Park here.
Well, yeah, I'm asking now because I know it's going to happen to a lot of people in here, not just me. So I just want to make sure that if we come to you and say, hey, my daughter's going to be here for 21 days, can she park in that parking lot?
Bob and Sheree, years ago, extenuating circumstances like that, people were permitted to use the far side of the parking lot.
Okay, I just want to make that clear because I know it's going to happen to other people too. Thank you.
But I would like to make one thing clear. It's an extenuating circumstance. Each one is taken on its own. Just because we did it for one, we're not going to do it for 10 others. So bring your if it's a situation we can handle and do fine, and we'll be very conceivable of that. But just because we'll do it for one or two doesn't mean we can do it for everybody.
It's only, let me tell you, I'm going to just read it to you. This is parking of vehicles. This is our rules. Except for loading and unloading, all vehicles shall be parked off the street and road of the subdivision. If the carport or driveway is fully occupied by vehicles, the owner or occupant may permit a temporary visitor to park on his or her lawn for not more than 48 hours. Otherwise, the parking area, you're going to have to go to the manager here, and it's up to her, per individual, but it's only for the 21 days. It's not for any longer than that. That's our rules.
Okay. Thank you. Steve.
Steve Ambrose again, 241 Blossom. Just a heads up to all our residents. I had a scam call last week from FPL. They left a message saying that my bill was not paid and my power was going to be cut off in 30 minutes. So I phoned FPL and talked to a manager there, and I had the person's phone number, extension, because she left it on voicemail, and I gave them, and they were investigating, and apparently other people in the park got the same call on the same day. So if you get a phone call saying that your bill's not paid, mine comes out automatic, and that's as soon as the manager said, your bill's paid. So just be aware that this scam is happening and they're hitting us seniors. Okay? Right.
Thank you. Bob.
Easy pickings.
Bob, before you say anything, I just want to recognize you and your people for a great job you did on that library. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you know, my wife said to me, you know, we can have a little something nice for a change. And that's it, Bob. Thank you very much.
Hey, this is the next room. But I have a question before I say my name. Are we now discussing the stuff that you said earlier, if you had a point on or
anything?
Okay, Bob Shear, 382 Holiday Park. I'm going to make this as quick as I can. I need to explain one thing. Bruce said, or you asked, can we take care of the problem with the tax certificates?
Yes.
Okay, here's how you take care of it. Jack is Brevard County. Keith is Holiday Park. I buy the tax certificate. As of April 31st, these will go on sale for 2019. In 30 days, they are sold. Okay, I'm not buying the property. I am simply paying the taxes, and I get 18% on my money. So I come down, I give Jack, I'm going to use a round figure, $2,500. Okay? Because that's what the tax certificate sells for. That's your $2,100 for the park and about $400 in taxes. Jack turns around 30 days later, writes a check to Keith, who was Holiday Park, for $2,100. Okay? So I'm now Holiday Park. And I wrote that check to him for $2,500 to Brevard County. He writes a check back to Holiday Park, which is us, $2,100. Holiday Park is now out $400. $400 for that year. The second year, they do the exact same thing. After 2 years and 30 days, which falls into 3 years, we're out $800. $800 for a property. Now, let me go back. It must be, you must have your lawyer in that 30 days, make sure that there's no big liens on the property. That, you know, someone has a second mortgage, a reverse mortgage, anything else. And most of these homes that we're talking about are people who have died. And they no way to get a hold of anybody. So after that third year that we fall into, Holiday Park can demand there's an auction. Okay? So if somebody comes in and wants to buy that property, they would owe $5,000 plus the 18% interest on 2 years. Less than $6,000. Somebody, you can't tell me there isn't one property in this park that's not worth $6,000, okay? We're never in the real estate business. We're just forcing Brevard County to do this. That's how you get rid of those properties. But you need to nip it right from the word go. Because what you're forgetting about is there are 7 years. They can buy certificates for 7 years. On the eighth year, whoever paid the first year loses all their money. Ninth year, second person. So this could go on, and we have properties in here right now that there's $40,000, $50,000 owed on properties that aren't worth $10,000, guys. So the only way you're going to fix them is if nobody ever buys their certificates, which isn't going to happen, because some guy sets up in Ohio, and he sees this thing, and he gets a tax certificate sale sheet, and it says the taxes are $2,500 to $3,000. He doesn't know it's a mobile home. He doesn't know that $2,100 is our fees. He thinks that's what the taxes are. When he looks at the scale and he says, Brevard County, Palm Bay, taxes $2,500 to $3,000. That's a $300,000 home. Why isn't he going to buy that? Because who's going to let a $300,000 home go forever? I tried to rush that through. I was going to do this with Monopoly money. I've asked to do it for 3 or 4 years. Brevard County also told me directly, when I was managing the park, that they would put us on the top of the list because it is an auction. If somebody were to come in and say, I only want 16% interest, they would get it over the guy that wanted 18. But it's the first come, first serve at that number. Brevard County told me specifically, if we know you want to buy them and you're going to clean this mess up, we're going to make sure you can own the properties.
Thank you, Bob. We should discuss that further at some point in time.
Helen Ferguson, 1127 Keystone Court. I just have a question to ask, and I think it would be better if it's back up there again. Before we used to have complaints up beside the agenda on what these people were doing and that they're going to be fine, I think that it should be put back up there again because I think it's good so that other people see that they know these people, they know they're doing wrong. I think that it should, if it's not a big problem, just to put it beside it so that they, you know, they're in, nobody knows now. But you know what, see what I'm talking about, hon?
Sure, I have my letters. If anybody wants to see the letters that go out every month, they're certainly welcome to come to the office and ask for them. You know, I have my list and I have my mailings and so forth.
But do they know that they can come to your office? And isn't it a pain?
Anybody who wants to, any of the records, anything that we do in the office is totally open to the public. So if you all want to come in and see the violation letters or a report or something, that's fine.
I just thought it would be easier to put it up there monthly or every 2 weeks, whatever it is, you know, so it's up there and people can see it that walk by and say,
we could do that. We did that too with the delinquencies, with the taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
Personally, I have no idea what you're talking about. No, is it something apparently?
Sherry knows,
me?
And the other people know too.
Okay. All right.
But you know, maybe that would help a little bit too on some of these people that aren't taking care of their houses. You know, for somebody to go up to them and say, "Hey, we saw this on."
There you go.
You know.
We'll discuss that.
Yep.
Thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Hi, board. My name's Karen Foote. What's my address? 218 Holiday Park Drive. I'm going to bring up two things. HPPOA is in desperate need of someone to take over the phone directory for next year. John is not going to do it, and we need some volunteers to step up and help, or HPPO will be losing a lot of money for next year. And we won't have a phone directory next year. You'll get your 50th for this year, but next year there won't be any more phone directories unless someone steps up and helps us out. So if you want to help us, stop in and talk to Doty on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at the HPPOA office. My second thing is from all our card players in the room, and I know Sheree knows about this. They're all looking for new card tables because our card tables are collapsing on us when we're playing. So Sam and I got together, Sam in the back there, and we researched card tables today, and they run from $700 to $800 a piece. So we're asking the board just to consider if you could help out and get us some new card tables because they're really bad.
Are you saying help out as in
purchasing them,
helping HPPOA?
HPPOA is almost out of money.
Okay, so it would be a total purchase from
the district
the
itself.
The district,
yes.
And no help from HPPOA.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that for the trustees.
Did you say no help from the HPPOA?
That's what Karen is saying.
That's what they're telling. They're telling us they're almost out of funds.
Did you have a number in mind?
We have from $677 up to $800.
Number of tables.
How many?
Sam, how many are you looking for? four at least, five at the max, right, Sam? They have flip tops. They're an actual oak dining room table. The regular tables we've been buying are $600. Right.
$3,200.
You flip it to the one side is a poker table. The other side is a plain oak table. So you could use it for any kinds of cards or games in the game room. And we have three examples if you want to look at them.
Actually, it would be good if you got with me. Look at the tables, the pricing,
yep.
How many. Go take a look at them, and we'll bring it up on the agenda at next meeting.
That's what we
Is
thought.
Is that good?
Yep, right. We just wanted you to know that we did research it finally, and I know Cherie's been bugged and bugged about them. So.
And you're spot on with the cost.
Yeah.
Because I've looked in, again, if you want to get garbage, get the $200-$300 tables.
Apart.
And again, Karen's absolutely right.
And I'll get together with Terry.
And maybe we could do something about those panels.
Yep.
We've been researching some kind of material and maybe give it a little facelift as well. We did paint it,
right.
So, you know, let's try to do something there.
What do you got, Barb?
Did I hear you right that you can turn the table bottom
you can
side
flip
up?
It.
They're
yep.
like a reversible?
Yep.
That's a good price for them.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank
very
you very
nice.
Much.
Thank
We're losing
you.
Our audience.
But please, everybody, we need someone to help us with the phone directories, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Karen Carrero, 181 Holiday. I have a couple of questions. One question is, how come everything up here on Christmas Day was locked up tighter than Fort Knox? You couldn't get in the gate if you wanted to play bocce. You couldn't get in any of the doors. I don't understand why this wasn't open to, there's people in here that don't have families and that would be here by themselves and maybe they would want to come up. But everything was locked up. I was up here at 11 o'clock Christmas Day and you couldn't get in anywhere.
Well, certainly, you know, you'd have to give some consideration to our employees. Certainly that. I mean, that's a certainty.
I'm
but
a nurse and I had to work holidays.
You know, that's you. Okay, but we may see if we can work something out.
We
may see if we can work something out. Would you agree with that?
I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Another question is, the canal that runs from Holiday Park over near the compound all the way to, I don't even know where it ends, to be honest with you, is that going to be cleaned out? There's weeds in there that's taller than me. There's water standing in there constantly now. It's a mess. And it's going to be mosquito heaven come this summer.
Yes. I keep saying, well, let's wait for the water to disappear. It is not. So what we're going to have to do is, I have a rental company, and we're going to have to rent a little ditch witch, and we're just going to have to do it ourselves. Before I do that, I will contact U.S. Lawns and get a bid from them to see what that's going to cost as opposed to doing it in-house. So we will be approaching that, and we will be addressing that, Karen.
Okay. Cherie, when you said about not giving people decals and stuff because they don't pay their taxes or whatever, can't we take away their cable TV also since we pay for that?
Well, the only thing with the cable, we can't.
You can't?
No. That'd just be like saying, well, guess what?
They could get cable TV from someplace else other than Spectrum. They would have to pay for it in full themselves. Because in reality, our fees are paying for that. Am I correct?
True. Correct.
So that's part of your amenity to the park. So why can't we stop that? I don't understand that.
It's been tried, and the cable company won't do it.
No,
it's
that
not,
makes sense.
It's
yeah.
It's
Bruce? Yeah,
thank you.
That.
Just...
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborhood Court. To answer this lady's question, in 2015, they did the deed restrictions, and they put all this stuff in the deed restrictions that if you don't pay your assessments, we're going to cut your cable TV off, and you can't swim in our pools and all this kind of stuff. Well, they found out that they can't do all this stuff. Spectrum says you do not touch the blocks. It's not ours, it's theirs. If there's a tax certificate on their property, we have the money, so you can't deny them the use of the facilities. It's a catch-22. Going back to what Helen asked a minute ago, this is the list of the delinquent tax certificates, and this is a couple years old now, but you can print a new one, and we used to have it in the glass case, so everybody can see who isn't paying. Right, good. Helen?
Good.
Okay, going back to a couple of quick questions, raccoons and rats. It is against the law to feed raccoons, and I think we have to take and push the fish and game and push the police department to do something about the problem. That will solve that raccoon
problem. We're not going to be able to do that without the city council's support, to be honest with you. It just won't happen.
Now,
I agree to go to the city council and bring up that issue.
Okay, as far as the rats, we have had a rat problem for about 10 years in this park. It's got worse and worse and worse. I brought it up to the board several times that we have to do something. Nobody did crap about it. Gaston Pelletier bought a house over here where they ripped out the Wolf property. Our manager went in there and took pictures of the rats sitting on the countertop looking at them. I saw the pictures. I'm serious.
Yeah.
When we did the construction on the clubhouse here, and we did the construction for 2016, when they ripped out the bathrooms and put the laundry room out there, Jose, who was our custodian, him and I stood right there and watched the rats walk across the beam into this building. And we had to hire, they put boxes in here to get rid of them. Nobody wants to do nothing about the rat problem.
Valerie, can you hear me say I was going to do something about the rat problem?
Thank you. But I've tried for years. Anyways, we've had several people get rats in their houses, and one of my close friends got rats in their houses about 2 months ago down here in Holiday Park Boulevard. Valerie Stoll had rats in her houses. She caught three of them because she went and got the traps. You know, the ones that close like that?
Yeah.
Well, she caught three of them in her house.
Okay.
As far as feral cats.
Yes. Yes.
Our deed restrictions say it is illegal to feed the feral cats.
We all know that. We all know that.
If people don't pick up after the dogs, they have the dogs off leash, somebody take a picture with your cell camera and turn it into the office.
That's what I just said.
Because everybody else picks up the crap, and I get sick of people leaving crap on other people's lawn. That is absolutely just disgusting.
Thank you, Bruce. Is that all? Is that everybody wants to speak? Speak now. Because I'm about to put this, close this night. Put the hand down.
That's right.
So, I want to thank you all for coming. You know, this is my first meeting outside of the one with the attorney. And you all have been great. You've been great. Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. I think so, too, for a change. Yeah? Thank you, Ruth. Absolutely. This man right here did. That's the one. This man right here. He's the one who's going over the deed restriction. Yeah, absolutely.